Well, it's good to be here tonight, ain't it? Good to see all of you. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Does anybody have a desire for the fire tonight? Woo! I'll be like a deal with a little bit more of what I got last night. How about you? I said, I believe I can handle just a little bit more. And some of you weren't here last night. A few of you is working. If you wasn't here, you just need to get some. Just trust me. Just trust me. Don't ask me. Just believe me. You need to get some of what we had last night. I told you before, stuff don't happen everywhere you go. This ain't just something that just comes down everywhere you go. You just throw it out on everybody. It's special. Very special, Brother Tommy, when the Lord comes down. Well, it's good to see a visitor here named Ernest. He come earlier, said he did. I don't know. I seen a man named Ernest. Didn't look like that one, but he didn't have no suit coat on. No, he had whiskers and stuff, but he says he's the same guy. I don't know. We're glad to see Ernest here tonight and his friend and the Collins crew. Hallelujah. I tell you what, if it wasn't Pastor Matter, we'd just claim him as home folks, wouldn't we? But I tell you, him's the kind of people you need in your church right there. I'll bundle them up and ship them back to Virginia. if I could, because I tell you, Dad could use a crew like that. Hallelujah. And I just appreciate you coming so much. And not only coming, but getting in. Amen. Yeah. And all the other visitors and home folks and everybody, we're so glad you're here. We're not worried about who's not here. Wouldn't do no good to worry about them anyway, would it? And I'm not going to get on those that's laid out some nights and not going to look at them or nothing. I'm just glad you're here tonight. Hallelujah. Appreciate you. Let's get in. Thank you for your giving. And we had what a burger last night. The kindness of Brother Tommy and his family. And I'm praying that the Lord's going to lay that on his heart again tonight. Whew. Man, was that good. To me, you just can't beat no double bacon burger and two large fries and root beer. You just don't get no better. Woo! Man, you should have went with it, brother. I'll take you tonight if you'll go with me. And you, let's get in tonight. Worship the Lord. Give me the key of C. Now, this song is slow, but it's not a dead song. Brother Tommy asked me to sing it earlier in the week, and I ain't had a chance. Someone said they didn't like it. A preacher said, you know if it's biblical or not, but I like it. And hopefully you will too. If you've been in the depths of sin, you'll like it. You'll know what it's talking about. Standing in the alley of decision, I was trying hard to make the right choice. Oh, the devil had called, and I staggered and stalled. I was captured by a sweeter, gentler voice. My life had become like a tavern, oh, lonely and dark and with sin. Oh, Jesus said, let me in, and I'll be your friend. Oh, and that's when renovation began. Oh, from a tavern to a temple, oh, where the Holy Spirit dwells. Oh, what a difference your love made. My soul, it was saved from hell. Oh, grace hung a new sign above my heart's door. Oh, and this temple, it's not a tavern anymore. Now the old friends that once hung round the tavern, oh, they don't have a home since things have changed. Oh,
the addiction to fear and terror isn't here. Since lovingly healed and rearranged, there's peace now inside of this temple. Hallelujah! Oh, Satan has forever lost the war. Now my heart is a throne for Jesus alone. And this temple, it's not a tavern anymore. Oh, from a tavern to a temple, oh, where the Holy Spirit dwells. Oh, what a difference your love makes my soul. It was saved from hell. Oh, grace hung a new sign above my heart's door. And this temple, it's not a tavern anymore. I like this. The old friends that once hung around this tavern, oh, they don't have a home since things have changed. Oh, the addiction to fear and terror isn't here. Since lovingly healed and rearranged, there's peace now inside of this temple. Oh, Satan has forever lost the war. Now my heart is a throne for Jesus alone. Oh, and this temple, it's not a tavern anymore. Oh, from a tavern to a temple, oh, where the Holy Spirit dwells. Oh, what a difference your love made my soul. It was saved from hell. Oh, grace hung a new sign above my heart's door. Oh, and this temple, it's not a tavern anymore. Oh, grace hung a new sign above my heart's door. And this temple, it's not a tavern anymore. Worship God in here tonight if you would. Oh, come on, let's praise Him tonight. Oh, if He took you from a tavern, made a temple out of you, worship God in here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Well, glory. I just feel the Lord here. I just kind of like go ahead and have church if y'all don't mind. I don't know if I ought to preach anything or not. I just feel like we ought to obey God in here tonight. Hallelujah. Maybe we ought to have somebody sing or do something. I don't know. But just that we had church tonight. You ever heard the story of old dummy? You ever heard it, Brother Collins? Well, good. I'll tell it in case you just ain't. You might be up with pastor pastoring in a certain town. And he had a right successful church. And the story goes that there was a man in that town that everybody called Old Dummy. That's all they knew him by. You know this? You heard this story? I probably won't tell it right. If you, anyway, if I tell it wrong, just grab Mike and tell it right. And in this town, old dummy lived. And the preacher one day was praying, and God began to speak to him and said, "You need to pray for old dummy." Old dummy couldn't hear and he couldn't talk. And old dummy lived in this town. His parents had raised him up and watched over him. He's dead. Now he just kind of roamed the streets, and everybody just kind of looked out for him. God told the preacher, said, "Old dummy ain't got much, but there's one thing he's got. See, he's got a soul. You need to pray for him that God would save him." So he began to pray for him. And one Sunday morning, guess who walked in the door? Old dummy walked in the door. He said, "Okay, God, now here he is. Now what do I do? He can't hear me. He can't talk to me." God said, "You preach to him like you'd preach to the sinner that you wanted to save the most in this town. You preach to him." And so he preached to the lost with all his heart. "Well, God, what do I do now?" "Just give the altar call like you would any other time." And when he gave the altar call, old dummy just come down to the altar and knelt down to pray. Well, he said, "Okay, God, now that's a bad situation. How am I going to lead him to the Lord? He can't talk. He can't." God said, "You just get down there and you pray for him like you'd pray for any other sinner." So he knelt down. He started to pray for the old dummy. And as he began to pray with him, he prayed and he got the feeling good. And he prayed that God would save the old dummy. And as he prayed on, after a while, old dummy jumped up and big old tears flowing down his face. And he reached out there and he just squeezed that pastor with all of his might. And when he got done, he turned around and he pointed at the cross that was hanging up like that one. And he pointed at his heart. And he'd point back at that cross. And he'd point at his heart. And he'd point at that cross. He let that pastor know he done got something down inside. Well, that was good, but old dummy got so stirred up that he went and he made him three big old crosses and he drug them outside of town on the curve going out, the main curve going out and coming in. And he took them up on the hillside and dug him a hole and put them three big crosses down in the ground. And every day they said that when you drove by, you'd see old dummy standing out there beside the road with his Bible. And he'd point at that Bible and he'd point at them crosses to every car that come by. He'd hold up that Bible and he'd point at them crosses to every single car that went by that day. Well, time went on and the preacher went and he preached at a revival or a seminar or something. And when he got there, he was telling about his convert, old dummy. And when he got done, these two people come up to him well-dressed and they said, "We know that man, for you see, me and my wife, we're doctors, and we was in getting a divorce. We was going to the doctor, the lawyer's office to get our divorce. And when we went out of town, we seen this man standing beside the road with the Bible in his hand, pointing at that Bible and that cross. And as he did, says we pulled over, we thought he was sick. And said, when we knew, he wouldn't say nothing. We didn't know he couldn't talk. All he'd do is point at that Bible and point at them cross and point at that Bible and said, conviction come on us right there beside that road. And we gave our hearts back to God and said, we didn't get no divorce that day. And said, we're still saved right now. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's a wonder what the blood of Jesus can do for a soul. He'll take someone out of the gutter. Hallelujah. Oh, Dad always said he'll take you out of the mire and put you in the King's choir. Hallelujah. I'm glad that one day he saved my soul when I was lost and undone. As just a little boy, he found me and he saved me. Aren't you glad for it tonight? Raise your hands and worship God in here. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! God is in the saving business. I said, God is in the saving business. Well, I gave your opportunity to shout tonight. You didn't. And so now I got to preach to you. Luke chapter 15. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've piped and you haven't danced.
We wept and cried and slobbered, and you haven't been moved. So I hear you're going to get it. No, lighten up. It's not going to be that bad. It's Saturday, and I'm going to spit it out and sit down. Let everybody go get something to eat and go to bed and get ready for Sunday school. Luke chapter 15. Don't y'all love the story of the prodigal son? Man, I love the story of the prodigal son. I'm sick of people taking the Bible and telling, that's kid stories. Well, if it is, I'm a kid then. I like to read them books my kids got. I guess maybe that's why I like a prodigal son. But I like this. I don't want to read it all. We all know the story. But we know that the, well, I don't know. Let's read some of it. Verse 11. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of your word. I thank you for your word, your will, and your way. I thank you, God, for this wonderful congregation, God, that has been so kind to me, Lord, these past 2 weeks. And God, how you visit us. And God, come into our midst. And I pray tonight that you touch us one more time with your spirit and with your power. God, from the front of this building to the back, anoint me, God, and help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say. Nothing more, nothing less. Give us revival again tonight in this service. And we'll thank you for it. And everybody said, amen. Well, I appreciate the Lord tonight. I thought, as I read about this, read this story of the prodigal son again that we've all read so many times, and it seemed like I've said this a bunch of times this week, but maybe I have, I don't know, but I thought of another story of a little girl who lived on a mountainside, and every day, she would get up and she would look out across the valley to the other side of the mountain. And she looked across and she looked across at the other side of that mountain, Brother Tommy. She seen a house over there that just glittered in the sun. And it looked like as the sun beat down on it and shone down on it, it looked like it had gold. It was made out of gold. It looked like the house. It looked like the windows were pure gold. This little girl would call that house the house with the golden windows. And as she looked upon it and she would admire it and look upon it, amen, she would tell her mama, that's my house. That's the house with the golden windows. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
And one day she got up the nerve and the notion to go and look at this house up close. So she spent all day walking through the valley and walking down and across the creek and up the other side and way over. And when she got over there, she'd come upon this run down, broken down old shack of a house. Amen. With the porch falling in and the roof sagging. And she looked around and some old man come out and said, "Yes, little girl, can I help you?" And she said, "Sir, I'm looking for the house with the golden windows." He said, "Well, little girl, you're on the wrong side of the mountain." He said, "That house is right over there." And when she turned back around, he was pointing back across the valley at her house. And the sun was shining on her house now. And he said, "Little girl, that is the house with the golden windows right over there." I'd like to preach for a little while if the Lord would help me on the house with the golden windows. You see, if we're not careful, friends, the devil will have us looking everywhere and here and yon for some excitement, for the bright lights, for the glow and the glitter. Amen. But you realize, friends, that right here, as we sit in this service tonight and in this church, amen, that we are sitting, although the windows have been closed in, if you let me say it, we're sitting with the house with the golden windows. You see, I like to preach again if the Lord would help me just briefly. I'm not going to preach long tonight. Y'all stripped all my gears last night. I'm wore out. Amen. But I'd like to preach to the young people one more time about there's nothing in this world to look for. There ain't no need to go nowhere. You see, you've got all that heaven offers right here around you. As I look out and I see this prodigal son, amen, I look at him and I look and I see so many lives. I can think about a lot of names, Brother Hank, that I could put with this boy. I can think about a lot of girls and boys and young people, Brother Bobby, that I have watched as they too have went like the prodigal son and said, "Mom and Daddy, give me what's coming to me and let me go." I've heard the call from out the big city. I've seen the bright lights. I felt the joy. Amen. But could I tell you, young people, tonight, amen, that there is no other house, amen, like the house you're in tonight. There is no other experience like the experience of the Holy Ghost. There is no other feeling, amen, like feeling God in your soul. Oh, I want to preach to you tonight that there's no need to run. Amen. Some of you are getting older. I asked Clifford's parents. They said he was almost a big 16. Amen. Old enough to drive. Almost. Amen. By himself. Big boy. Come on now. Just don't worry, son. After a while, you wish that your wife could drive. You could sleep. Amen. Listen to me right now. I'm talking about the ages. I look around at all our young people. My heart is still stirred, Brother Tommy. I want us to keep them. You hear me? I said, I don't want us to lose a one. Amen. As I look around, I've heard some tell me that we've got a couple that's not here tonight. There's an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, a few that Brother Shad was telling me we've lost. He didn't say who they were or what their names. He just said, "I'm missing a few." Oh, you know what they're doing, Brother Hank? They're out there looking for the house with the golden windows. They're out there looking for that good time that they've heard about. But Brother Carl, it's right here in God's house with the moving of the Holy Ghost. This is a house with the golden windows. Come on now. Y'all stay with me. I thought tonight, and I'm hurrying, I thought about back home. And I don't want to get you too sad tonight, because I'm not here to preach a sad, crying tearjerker. It may get that way after a while, but if it does, that'll be the Lord's will to find. Years ago, a revival was preached up home. Happened to be my father was preaching it. I talk a lot about him, I know. And in that revival at Brother Jimmy Vance's church, you know Brother Jimmy Vance? Built in Pentecostal. Before he was there, it was Dickie Webb's father was pastoring that church. And Jeff Ritchie got saved in that revival. Jeff Ritchie come from a wealthy family, grain owners. They owned a big grain bins and a big a co-op like deal, rich. But Jeff was a wild man. Hit that 20 couple years of age, he knew it, done every drug, every bit of alcohol, everything you think of, he had done it. Amen. He come in that door that night, he didn't know nothing about God, but Dad preached to the lost. And he come up and he sat Indian style right in front of the altar, just crossed his legs and began to pray. And that night, a man was saved. Brother Tommy, are you talking about a prince of a guy? I mean, a prince of a guy. I mean, carried himself so well and so mannerly and so kind. He married the preacher's daughter out of that church and went on to become a great, right, wealthy himself, but he was a good man, gave to God. He come to Dad's church and was there and just one of Dad's finest members. Well, his wife began to desire the things of the world. She began to have a craving to do some things that Dad would not allow on the platform. And she began to desire, so she talked Jeff. In order to keep peace, he went with her and he pulled out with her. Well, when he did, she took him down the road to a church, and when she got there, that was just a little bit more worldly than ours, and then she moved him to another one until she got him all the way out. Well, it wasn't long till we began to hear that Jeff was having mental problems. Mental problems? Jeff, what? Man, I mean, you're talking about a stable, level-headed guy. Father, business, I mean, level. Yeah, he's been up to the fifth floor. Amen. That's where they put the loonies up home. And said, man, he's having trouble. And him and his wife was having problems. And someone seen him. He come back to the old Holiness church there. And someone seen him at one of the Holiness churches. And he cried. He said, pray for me. I'm having trouble. I'm having mental trouble. My wife's going to leave me. I don't know what to do. Amen. And he cried and he cried. He had a little boy, a little girl. Amen. Well, it wasn't long after that. I don't believe I'll ever forget as long as I live. A few years ago, Jeff went to his wife's house. He was getting a divorce and he couldn't handle it. It messed up his mind, her being with another man. And he went down there and he got the shotgun and he went down to her house and he said, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to kill the kids and then I'm going to kill myself. She began to scream, ran in, called the cops, and they run out there to get Jeff. I'm talking about a Holiness man that lived a Holiness life and said exactly where you're sitting and worship God like you're worshiping God. The cops took out after him. They said, where did he say he was going? He said he was going down to the church where he got saved. When they got there, Jeff jumped out of the truck and took off in the woods behind the church. They heard the gun go off. And they sent the dogs after me. They come back however they do it. And, you know, he's dead. Whatever, how they signed to those policemen. When they got there, there was Jeff with a hole in his head. And this is a suicide note that Jeff left. This is a simple word that will probably forever stay in your mind. I know they stay in mine. He wrote these simple words. I was born here and I'll die here. I was born here and I'll die here. Oh my God, you realize what Jeff realized was that was the house with the golden windows. He realized, Brother Tommy, amen, that nothing else could satisfy. The only thing that that boy found that would satisfy was in the walls of that little church, inside those four walls. Could I tell you, friend, tonight? Could I tell you, young people? Could Brother Brent plead with you a while until you don't ever try sin? Don't take the first drink. Don't take the first step. There's nothing out there. My God in heaven, I like to preach to you tonight that it's all right here. This is a house with the golden windows. Woo! Come on now. Oh, God, can I talk to you young people a little bit more? Can we make this youth service tonight and you young older folks and just get in on it too? Could I tell you, we don't date people that's not our religion. Do you hear me? I don't care if you go to school with them, whatever else you do, but we don't date people, Clifford. That's not Pentecostal wholeness. We don't date worldly Pentecostals. We don't look at them. We don't whistle at them. We don't flirt with them. You understand that? Listen to me, young ladies. You don't even look at boys. Amen. They're not prayed through on fire for God. I don't care what kind of car they drive. I don't care, my God, I'd rather drove a Pinto and was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You better hear me tonight. Amen. Oh, I'm seeing too many broken homes. Amen. Of young couples. I'm seeing too many broken lives. What is it? Well, Mom, I just can't find no good wholeness boys. Well, Mom, I just can't find no good wholeness girls. You better listen to this preacher tonight. Amen. You just better wait until God sends you on. Amen. Or you too may look back and say, I didn't realize it, but I was in the house with the golden windows. I was right there. I experienced the experience. Amen. And I went looking for it, and I already had it. Amen. Come on now. You parents back me up tonight. Woo! The house with the golden windows. I don't want to embarrass here, but this one on the front row looks like his parents been feeding him baled hay. He's a bruiser of a fella. Well, my dad used to tell it to everybody. Listen, they called him up the other day. Football coach noticed that his parents was feeding him that baled hay. Called him up and said, hey, how about coming down and playing football for me? Remember what I preached to you the other night? Oh, we don't need that here. We must have. And I don't know if his parents, they might have told him no anyway. I hope they would have. I got enough confidence. But you know what he said? I can't do that. I can't play football. I can't come down there. And I want you to know, son, no, you might not have thought nobody knowed. Amen. And that might bother you more than you let on, because you might, the bright lights, hallelujah, you could be the star and knock everybody down and get all the women's attention. Amen. Oh, but listen to me tonight. I'm proud of you, buddy, for saying no. I said, I'm proud of you, son. Amen. You made the first step in realizing that this is a house with the golden windows. You looked around. You said, hey, these lights right here is all the lights I need. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The only glory that I desire is the glory of God. The only praise I desire is the praises of heaven down on my soul. Listen to me. I realized a long time ago that this is a house with the golden windows.
I don't want to rehearse it too much, Brother Tommy. But when I preach like this, I just can't help it. I said I wasn't going to cry, but I might. Brother Hank, I'm so glad as a little boy that I realized, Brother Tommy, that this is a house with the golden windows. I'll say this sorrowfully tonight. I don't say this with any glee or glory. I got a sister-in-law by the name of Charity. And I love her. She's a case. But she was one of them girls raised in the Holiness Church down there at the public school. I want you parents to listen. I've preached this, and some of you have just stuck your ear up to me. I'm going to bring it home to you right now and tell you about my sister-in-law. You better listen to me taking your kids up to the Royal Rangers and the Royal Retreat and the Baptist Seminary. You better stop that stuff. It's bad enough just being with them in school, much less just keep pumping that to your children. You better hear me right now. And down there at the public school, and this is why I love Christian school so much, she fell in love with a football player that started flirting with her. She was coming to church playing the drums and just doing just great. But all the while, that boy was drawing her heart. We had no idea. But, you know, she was trying to fight it off, but he just kept flirting with her, and I love you, and I this. Well, directly, he come to church and shed a few crocodile tears and said he got saved. I knew he wasn't no more saved than nothing, but that was her excuse to start dating just right off. We said, Charity, you better watch that boy. Brother Clifton Gallagher said, that boy's demon possessed. You better be careful. Amen. Y'all just don't understand him. We begged her, we pled. Well, she went ahead and married him, young people, and her life has been miserable ever since. Ever since, nothing but misery. He's beat her. They've almost, one day he beat her in the car and almost wrecked the car, went down the median, spun around. Amen. Charity went from playing the drums to doing things I'm not going to talk about tonight. Amen. Listen to me. And tonight I guarantee you, amen, I guarantee you, amen, it even got to the point where she got out of church to try to make him happy. But like I told you the other night, if they don't love you in church, they're not going to love you out of church. You understand that? I'm glad you hear me. I said, if they don't love you and being a good, solid, clean person, then they don't love you doing what they want. So she went and cut her hair, wore the breeches. It didn't change a thing. It only made things worse, because now she had him and the devil to deal with. Amen. You listen to me. And if I could get Charity here tonight, and if she'd be honest with you, amen, she'd tell you, don't leave the house with the golden windows. She'd tell you, this is where it's at. My God in heaven. I said, she'd tell you, this is where it's at tonight. This is a place to be.
My brother-in-law, preacher, preached the gospel. I wasn't planning on saying this tonight, and I'm going to maybe shift here in a minute. Preacher of the gospel. I don't know if he wasn't saved. Was he saved when you was there? He just got out. Preacher raised in the preacher's home. Tonight, he looks like a skeleton. Left his wife, two little boys. Got two children by another lady that he's living with. Drugs, alcohol have took him to the bottom, Brother McDonald. And I don't say that. Oh, I hate to say it with my wife here, especially it's her brother. But oh, if he was here tonight, Sister McDonald, I believe he'd tell you, this is a house with the golden windows. You listen to me tonight. I don't know why. Listen to me right now. Amen. This man, this prodigal son, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Dake's mistake said, amen, that he was literally made a slave. He literally became a slave down there. Amen. And he would have filled his belly with a husk, but they would not even let him have the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave to him. Nobody can. That's what the devil will do for you. He'll take you down to the lowest pit. Like I told you the other night, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you so much more than you ever want to pay. I'm a pleading with somebody tonight. Get this in your heart now. Get full of the Holy Ghost now. Amen. Get filled with the Spirit now. Amen. And don't you ever go looking anywhere else.
You look at my beautiful family tonight, and I don't mean my face, but I mean my family. You look at my wife and my two little boys. This is a house with the golden windows.
Woo! You understand me? I said, this is a house, Brother Tommy, with the goat. When I look at you and your wife and your good wife and your boy, this is a house with the golden. Woo, brother. Amen. This is a house with the. Ain't nothing else to look for. Ain't it wonderful that a daddy, amen, has got boys who's never heard their daddy curse? Come on now. Amen. I'm talking about a house with golden windows. In a world where mommy and daddy is divorcing and so many kids got broken homes. Listen to me, boys. It ain't no joke and it ain't no nothing funny. It's something you ought to fall on your face and cry and thank God that you got a mommy and a daddy here tonight. For those of you that do, amen, you hear me, because it's a house with golden windows. Those restrictions they put on you, those limits, those curfews, those rules in that home, they're not a drudgery, they're a blessing. I said they're a blessing. They're keeping your soul from the tricks and the sand of hell and the flames of hell. You better listen to me tonight. I'm talking about a house with golden windows.
I'm hurried. I need to quit. John the Baptist. And that was for you young people. And now for the dear saints of God, this is for you. John the Baptist. Had been a lot. Or should I say John the Revelator? Had seen a lot of things in his life. He's seen a whole lot of things. But he ain't never saw nothing like this city that he saw coming down out of heaven. Do you hear me? Hey, I'm happy living down here, Brother Hank. I'm happy with life. I'm thankful for that little old 43-foot trailer over there in that truck that the bank owns and they let me live in and so nicely let me make a payments on. I'm thankful to death for it. A lot of people ain't got that, you hear me? I'm tickled just to death. I'm pleased, thrilled with it. And it's going downhill all the time. It's losing value all the time. It's one of the worst investments, but I'm just thrilled to death to have it. And I thank God for it. Amen. And some of you here, you don't have a whole lot, Brother Tommy, but oh, we're happy with what we got. But I want to tell you about something I'm looking forward to. I'm talking about a house. Amen. Oh, with God. Golden windows. You hear me? Amen. This is for somebody tonight that says, Brother Brent, I've got aches and pains, and I've got this and that. Oh, listen to me tonight. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Hallelujah. I like this church right here. I love being with you saints of God. Amen. But I'm looking for a house with the golden windows. Hallelujah. And it's not a type, and it's not a shadow. It's a real thing. You hear me? I said it's a real thing. Like under clear glass. It's a window of pure gold. Hallelujah. You hear me? I said it's a window. Brother Beard, I'm tired. I'm weary. Hold on a little longer. We're going to a house with golden windows. Amen. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Woo! And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Hallelujah. We could go on and on and on, but I want to tell you tonight, he said there won't be no night in that city, amen, where the house, amen, has got the golden windows. Glory to God. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am there you ain't maybe also. Amen. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen to me tonight, it's real. Heaven is a reality, and if we can hold on, if we can endure the trials and the tests and the temptations, brothers and sisters, after a while, I said I'm a going to my house with golden windows. Listen to me. Oh, Homer Fox laying in a hospital dying. Laying there dying. Cursing, swearing, sinner. And you know, when you go into an old center like that, there's nothing to hardly know God except for the person. You know, you're supposed to tell him you only got a few days to live. You're going to hell, and you better get saved right now. But this time, the preacher done it different. He went in there, and he got to telling Homer about heaven. Homer didn't know nothing but about the other word is what he would say right here on earth. A life of rough misery, drinking and drugging, and alcohol had taken his soul to the bottom. A life, I mean, right from the pits. And Dad felt led to start talking to Homer about heaven. And he laid there, and he was an old callous. I mean, boy, he was just mean and rough and gruff. But as old Homer laid there dying, Dad said, Homer, you know, we're going to die after a while. And we've got a choice. We can go to hell, or we can go to heaven. Yeah, well, what's heaven? I know what hell is. What's All home or heaven is a place with no cemeteries. It's a place where there's no dying. It's a place where there's no crying. There's no broken homes. There's no son there, brother. And when he got to talking, old Homer started to cry. And big tears. He said, "Tell me more, preacher." And he said, "Homer, amen. Oh, listen. There won't be no broken bodies. There'll be no cancer. No AIDS. Amen. No police force, because there won't be no crying. There'll be no broken hearts." And he began to tell old Homer Fox about what was going to be in heaven. And after a while, Homer said, "Hold it, preacher. I think that's where I want to go. Hallelujah. Tell me how I can get there. Hallelujah." And so he led him to the Lord. Right there, what did he do? He told him about a house with golden windows. I said he told him about a place where there'd be no more sorrow. Amen.
And I'm closing tonight with a simple little message. About 2 years ago, Sister Powell died up home. Sister Powell was a fine old lady. She's probably 60, 65. Man, she didn't look like she had ache or pain or care in the world. She hopped, skipped wherever she wanted to go. But one day, she told her children, she said, "I'm fixing to die." She said, "God gave me a dream. I stand at the gates of heaven." She said, "I saw my mom and my daddy. I saw my brothers and my sisters, and I was going in." And she said, "God stopped me and said, 'Not yet, Myrtle.'" And I said, "Why?" And she said, "I turned around and all you children were right there, and you was pulling on me. And you said, 'Don't leave us yet, Mama. Don't leave us yet. Don't go. Please don't.'" She said, "And I'm only here just for a few little bit more longer." I don't think she said a few months. She said, "I'm just here for a little longer, and it's only for you kids. So you better straighten up and love me while I'm here, because I'm fixing to go home." Mama, come on. "You're crazy, Mama. You're just a spry." And it wasn't 3 or 4 months later, Sister McDonald, that woman had a massive heart attack. Just boom, out of the clear blue. Later found her back. They went in, done bypass surgery, but she's laying there fading away. She told him she's going home, Brother Carl, and that's exactly where she's going. And she's laying there, and finally the kids, "Don't leave us, Mama. Don't die. Please don't." And finally they realized it was too late. Mama done told us. And old Liz leaned over in her ear, and she said, "Mama, can you see them gates?" And old Mama, she's laying there comatose, but all of a sudden something come into her, and she shook her head yes. And she said, "Oh, Mama." She said, "Can you see your Mama and Daddy?" And old Sister Bow shook her head yes. She said, "Oh, Mama. Amen. Can you see brothers and sisters? Can you see G?" Old Sister Bow laying there couldn't say a word. She shook her head yes. And I don't think I'll ever forget it as long as I live. Leah said, "Okay, Mama. You just run as fast as you can." She said, "Just run, Mama, run." And you run through them gates. And when she said that, Sister Bow breathed her last breath. And she run into glory to her house with the golden windows. Hold on a little longer. I said, "Hold on a little longer. Be faithful just a while longer. We've got a house. We've got a home on the other side with the golden windows." Woo! Hold us a little longer, sister. Just pray on a little longer. Go on a little farther. You got a house with the golden windows. You hear me? For all of these trials, we're going to hear Jesus call. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all these times, it'll be worth it after all. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know who's discouraged you tonight, but I just felt like preaching this little message to you about a house with golden window. Amen. It was like under clear glass, Brother Bobby. I mean, it was a real thing. Hallelujah. I tell you, I love the Spirit of God here. I love the moving of the Holy Ghost here. I love what I felt last night, when it ain't going to compare to when we get over there. Hallelujah. I said it's not going to compare. Amen. To when we get over there to that house. Hallelujah. Woo! Brother, I don't know what you live in down here, but it's probably not a mansion with a 5-car garage, I'm sure. But don't you worry a bit about it. Woo! It's probably bigger than what I got. But me and you ain't going to worry about it, are we?
because we got a house with golden windows. Ernest, I'm going to heaven after a while. If the Lord don't come, don't die, it'll be a long time, but I'm going there after a while. Some of you is a lot closer than I am. You better hold on. Better not give up and better not give in. Ooh, hallelujah. You know what, O'Baron? O'Baron, where is it? North Carolina? Asheville, North Carolina is the Vanderbilt home. That thing has got about 180 bedrooms. Built at the turn of the century, between 1800 and 1900, right there at the turn of the century. And even 100 years ago, that thing had running water. They had flushing toilets. They had electric lights. And 100 years ago, I mean, they say it's a marvel, and it's still in mint condition. You can tour through it. They had swimming pools, and they had vineyards and all. I mean, it was totally self-contained. Over 150 bathrooms. It's just a mansion, amen, just to go and gawk out. How in the world could somebody have so much money? You know what that old trailer I got out there? Well, I'm ashamed to tell you what I paid for it. I paid about $16,000. You know, they make a motor home that sells for almost $1.5 million. A motor home on wheels with gold faucets and marble floors. You know who owns one of them? Bill Gates owns one of them. I don't think he'd like to take a tour through mine tonight if he's here. But you know what? I say, what, Bill? I can't take you where I'm going. But that old stinking motor home you got, we wouldn't be ashamed to drive it where I'm going. You hear me? Amen. That stuff that them faucets is made out of, we're going to pave the streets with it. You hear me? Hallelujah! Woo! Brother Carl. Amen. Don't worry about what the devil stole from you down here. Lay up some treasures on the other side. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Where there ain't no bankruptcy. Amen. You hear me? There ain't no thieves over there. The moth does not corrupt. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Amen. If you live in a tarp paper shack, don't be discouraged if you got God tonight, because he's building your mansion on Main Street right now. I said he's building your mansion on the other side right now. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and worship God if you would tonight. Woo. I told you I was going to try to be brief. I tried. Why don't you worship God tonight?